awesome summer it's been so far. Everybody's enjoying it, I know I am.
Can we put up that lyric on the words on that screen there, Veronica, please?
Title page.
Nothing on there? There we go! Hallelujah! Please, where miracles happen. That has got to be the most ironic statement. I mean, in the history of civilization, the words, "In God we trust," put on money. Like some famous American at some point in the history of the United States thought it would be a good idea to put the words, "In God we trust," on money. Because Jesus said more than just a few times, actually, you know what? For the vast majority of people in your culture and in all cultures across the span of civilization, in actual fact, people tend to put their trust in money. It's just, it's the ultimate irony. I've always thought that. So here's the question. What is it that we place our trust in? And that's a question that anybody can answer. It doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter what your background is. What do you place your trust in? Think about this. How many people can you trust? I mean, trust with everything. Can you fully trust the person you're sitting beside? Don't put your hand up, darling. No. It's really not my intention to create awkward moments in church. And if you're sitting beside someone you don't know, then there's no awkwardness there. But think about how many people you can, like, you would just give anything to. Think of how many people you would trust your children to. We have people in our lives that we trust for certain things, but not for everything. The produce manager at the Loblaws does an amazing job with the vegetables and the fruit, and when he tells me the avocados are ripe, I trust him. But I'm not going to trust him with my money. My doctor, I've got a great doctor, and if he tells me I need a prostate exam, I'm going to get one. And I wasn't too happy about that, and I went and did it, and I trusted him with that, but with everything? Incidentally, that's why grandparents are absolutely the best babysitters. It's true, isn't it? Because not only do you not have to pay grandparents, but you can leave your kids with them and not have to worry. Because you trust them. You know they have a wealth of wisdom. You know how much they love your children. You trust them completely. You leave your kids with them and you're just gone. How many people can you trust in that way? Core message of the Bible is that there is a God revealed first through the prophets and then ultimately revealed through Jesus, a God that you can fully trust with everything, a God that you know will never ever let you down. The Bible says that you are sons and daughters of God. That means that God loves you even more than you know. And we remember Jesus' words that you, as human parents, if your child asks you for bread, you wouldn't give him a snake. God, you are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. And the Bible says God will give you what you need. You can trust God fully. We're invited to trust God in that way. I want to give you a picture of trust. I'm going to give you two pictures. I'm going to give you a picture from my life, and I'm going to give you a picture from the Bible. Here's the first picture from my life. We moved to our house in Ottawa 8 years ago, down country. And just as an aside, do you know when you move and friends come over to help? And like they pick up the couch and there's all the stuff underneath. Like underneath the couch, when people help you move, underneath the couch doesn't lie. And it's like all the years of what you've done are just there, just as an aside. So we had all these people coming to help us move. Friends graciously showed up that day. And we just piled stuff on trailers because we were going from Hume Street to Nottawa, so it wasn't that far. So things were just piled on trailers and kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies going down to things kind of falling off. And so the next day after we had moved, it's a picture I want to give you of trust. I went back to the house on Hume Street just to pick up a few odds and ends, and you all have been here. I'm standing in the empty house. And it's the most poignant thing to stand in an empty house, because you're remembering all the things that happened in that. I'm standing in the empty living room, that old Hume Street house, and I'm remembering graduations and birthdays and dinners with friends. There's a bush at the front of that house, a flowering almond bush. It only blooms about 4 days a year, beautiful pink blossoms. And every time it bloomed, we'd get a picture of Haven standing in front of it. And now I'm standing in the empty room of this house. And when you stand there, what happens? What happens when you stand in the empty house is that you remember the past, but you also wonder about the future. That's what happens. And that's the picture, not just for me and not just for my family, but for everybody here today, because there are times when all of you are standing in empty houses of your lives. The past will be the past, but then you wonder, what will the future hold? And there are times for all of us when we're moving from one life to another in some way, we're transitioning from one way of life into the next way of life, and what you'll notice is that there are some people standing in the empty houses of their lives who have hope for the future. And other people who are standing in empty houses of their lives have no hope for the future. The people who have hope know that there are going to be good things in the future. That's why they have hope. The people who have no hope are uncertain of what the future holds. And the difference is trust. The difference is trust. Do you trust that God's going to take care of you when you stand in the empty houses of your life? Now here's the picture the Bible paints of this. The Bible paints this picture of a valley. And that we walk as human beings through the valley. We all do at times in our lives. And then in this picture, when we're in the valley, the Bible reminds us that we can't see over the valleys. We can't see over the crest because we're too small. We're small. And so when we're in the valley, so oftentimes we don't know what's outside of the valley, and all we can see is the valley. But the Bible says God is way up here. God is so high above the valley that God sees everything around it. God sees that there is green pastures and still waters and over the crest of the valley. God sees that there is bright light, not dark. God sees that there are streets paved with gold, because God sees the whole picture. And we can't see that when we're in the valley. And that's the picture. And God just says, look, I see what you don't see, so I want you to trust me. I see that things will be better for you. I see what is in store for you over the crest. You can't see it now, I know, but I can, because I'm so high up. So don't give up. Keep walking. Because when you make it over the crest, you will be amazed. And God just says, trust me. Trust me. One of the most tragic things that could happen in the life of a young person is suicide. And I don't know if any of you have had to deal with a teen suicide. The tragedy is when people are of that age, young people, they can't see the big picture. They think that just where they are is where they are, and things just are never going to change. But what do you do as a parent? What do you do as a good friend or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent? What you do is you tell them, look, I see the bigger picture for you. You're young, you don't see it yet. But I see the bigger picture. I can see beyond the hills that surround you, and I can look over the crest, and I can see that there's bright light and green pastures and still waters. That's what we do, is we tell them that. And then we say, trust me. Trust me, I love you. Trust me, I'm your parent. I know that there's a bigger picture. And that's the picture the Bible paints for all of us. God is just saying, look, if you're struggling today, please understand that there's a bigger picture. And please understand that you're my son. You're my daughter. Don't you think that I would give you everything that you need? I love you. part of the Gospel of John. And if you're still, good for you if you're still, if you want to open that up, it's just John chapter 16, page 1697. I just want you to look. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And it's fascinating in John chapter 16 because Jesus says three times that you will have trouble. I mean, these disciples traveled with Jesus for a long time. And you would think by the end of that road that you're thinking, now we're going to be in a good place. But in that conversation in John chapter 16, Jesus promises trouble three times. He said, there will be trouble. But then he says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You can trust me on that? At verse 21, this is what I read. He uses the image of a woman giving birth to a child. Verse 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. So with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one can take away your joy. What a beautiful image. Like, just as an aside, isn't it amazing that Jesus would use that kind of metaphor? Like in that kind of society that was patriarchal? I mean, it's quite clear that there were women in that circle. There were women disciples because Jesus is using a metaphor that women would actually get a lot faster than a man would. And Jesus is saying, look, you have anguish now, but there will be joy. Will you trust me on this? I love you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Things will get better. And then the prophet Isaiah, all those years before Jesus. Isaiah chapter 25, it's page 1095. Isaiah had a huge influence on Jesus. And Isaiah gives us this picture of restoration and joy after the devastation that is just always a part of our lives. Look at the page before, page 1064, 1094. This is speaking about the devastation. And you could go through that whole page and read about this devastation, and the whole point of it is simply that there is devastation in our lives. Life has trouble. Life has devastation and desolation. Verse 7, the raw wine dries up and the vine withers. All the merrymakers groan. The tambourines are thrown away. The noise of the revelers has stopped. The harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. It just goes on and on. Desolation and devastation. In the streets, they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. Everything's broken. Everything's falling apart. But then there's chapter 25. The prophet gives a picture of what lays after the desolation of our lives. Verse 6, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people. This is after the desolation of your life. And everybody goes through those times. On the mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. In other words, gone will be all the things that divide people. He will swallow up death forever. He will remove the people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. What a picture that is. A whole world becoming one. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 25. You have done wonderful things, God. Things planned long ago. I mean, I don't even understand that. But somehow, there's this plan that the Creator has where all things will end well. And then in verse 9, this is the verse that if you had to sum up the whole message of the Bible, this is the verse that would do it. The whole message of the Bible, verse 9 in Isaiah chapter 25. See, we trusted God, and God saved us. We trusted God, and God saved us. And that's a picture that applies to nations and empires and the world and universes. There's this ultimate plan that God has for everything under the sun, but it's a big picture that just applies to all of us. God's so up high, he's looking down at the valley. He sees everything. God knows the bigger picture. And God's just like, look, because you're so small, you just don't get it. But I want you to trust me. There is something so huge. And I'm not even talking about heaven. I'm talking about even in your life today, that you trust God to give birth to something huge. The metaphor is still there, because everything that we are and everything that we do, we are birthing something into our lives today. And God said, will you trust me that you will birth after the anguish, you will birth something beautiful? So there are people here today who will testify to all this. I know that, you know that. There are people here today who have been through anguish. There are people here today who have lost children. They've lost businesses. I mean, there's a long list of the things that we live through. And life is no golden road for us. And Jesus promised in John 16 three times, there will be trouble in your life. But people here will say to you that God was with them always, and that God led them over the crest. And people here will say the words of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I will never be afraid, for God is always with me and leads me back to green pastures and restores my soul. They say those words. In God we trust. Today we're standing in empty houses. Every single person here is standing in some kind of an empty house. Because there's some shift in your life. There's some transition. There's some kind of birth that is going to result in something. Everybody's standing in the empty house, and you're wondering what the future holds. Whether you're 18 or 80, today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And you haven't yet seen how the rest of your life will finally be. But you will. You will. And when you do, you will finally see the big picture. God has seen all along. God, we trust.
Let's sing a song about this. With the Lord as my guide.